congregation to a T. I had no knowledge of it. I believe, and hopefully you believe, that God has orchestrated, as he has been throughout your walk, God has orchestrated this session, and I'm sure I know for a fact that your bishop, he's very keen and sensitive to trying to find out the will of God and what God desires. So I have no doubt when someone comes in this pulpit that it's in the perfect will and in the perfect timing of God. And if it's not in God's perfect timing, sickness will come upon that person that's trying to get here. That's another inside joke. So anyway, she caught on. It was one of those. So anyway, long story short, I tried to get here a couple of years ago, and I believe I'm here in God's perfect timing. I believe we are here in God's perfect will. Amen. You believe that today? Amen. Too many times we as Christians, Pentecostals, Apostolics, we kind of wander through our Christian walk, not really understanding sometimes, maybe some of you do, I don't necessarily think of it all the time, but as Brother Schoonover and I were discussing over the last couple of days, we kind of talked about different points in time where God allows us to intersect with someone else. And it's wonderful when you look, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and see how God specifically orchestrated the perfect timing for you to intersect with that particular person. That lets me know that God is in control. It doesn't matter the things that I go through, the difficulties that I face, the problems I may have, when I don't like things that are transpiring in my life and I would want to do them differently and wish to do them differently, and God is kind of guiding and orchestrating those things in my life. God is in total control. Even in the midst of sometimes what would seem chaos, even when things are down and my spirits may be low, and God is in ultimate control. I am not communicating because I'm just trying to fill in space. I believe the Holy Ghost is communicating something to us today. And in fact, Wednesday, if you were here, it's not because of a person or a man or whatever, a vessel. It's because God desires to do something. And anytime we stop realizing that God is orchestrating and directing our lives to a T. Detail. And even when we mess up, no one does that in here, I'm sure. Even when we slip up, even if sometimes we unfortunately would veer off of course, God is able to direct our paths and put us on the course that he desires for us to go. The beauty is that we don't have to go back to the beginning. He just redirects the course. You know, like the, you know, we love our devices. And if you kind of get off course, you know, your device will get you back on course. It won't take you back to the original spot. It will just reroute you. How many know that God is able to reroute you? Oh, hallelujah. Once again, I don't know why I'm saying all of that. But then again, I do know God is really trying to communicate to someone that he is in control. I'm going to have my wife to come up. I don't know if she's going to say something, do something, you know, do a cartwheel or, you know, I don't know. But I want to let her come and greet you. This is my wife, my wonderful, lovely wife, Glennis Simpson. And Sister Simpson, won't you go ahead, as they gave me my liberty, take your liberty. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful? Ching, 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 ching.
Take notes, fellas. That brother just earned some points. Yes, he did. Side note, real quick. I got up early this morning. The Lord actually woke me up, and I had no idea that Hadley was going to be used this morning. And he had me praying for this baby this morning. I only had spent a few minutes with her. I think it was all the days are going together. Whenever. It was only a few minutes. But I woke up this morning, and I would be shocked if her parents haven't been told this already. But the hand of God is on this baby's life. And I know you are, but you need to protect that. I had such a burden for this baby this morning. And I just started pleading the blood over her and putting a hedge about her. Yes. It was amazing. It was amazing. So, again, that's just a sidebar. He's already started, but God's going to use that baby. His hand is on her life. I was amazed, furthermore, with some of the lyrics of the songs that were chosen. I don't believe, as Brother Simpson said, that God does anything by accident. And we got back to our room yesterday, and I started kind of mulling over what Pastor Simpson had ministered Friday night about the spoken word and the power of the word and, you know, just how the tongue can give life or death. And just, you know, all of a sudden, the Spirit said, affirmation. I'm like, okay, Holy Ghost, affirmation. And then after that, he kept saying, I will, I will, I will. But he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about us and what we are willing to do, how we need to covenant with him, how we need to get on board, how we need to, there needs to be a yes and an amen in our spirit. A lot of times we get to that place during the preaching, but I believe that it's the will of God for us to get there prior to. I love, love, love the scripture that says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. But I love even more that one of my favorite songs embellishes that and says, I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter into his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made, because he has made me glad. And that just prompted me a little bit. And it didn't surprise me that a lot of scriptures like that were in the book of Psalms. And I just real quickly looked. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, it is your will and your desire for the people of God to affirm with you. This is not God doing one thing and we're doing something else. It is by his choice that he has designed that we are to work together with him. We are with him in the work of God, in the kingdom of God. I don't think we should forget that, because a lot of times we put God on a shelf. God, you do it. God, I'm just waiting on you. Well, what about my part? Is he waiting on me? What has he instructed me to do? So just begin to look at that, and it says, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among the people. I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Teach me thy way, O God, and I will walk in thy truth. I will praise you, O Lord. And I could go on and on and on. And I just would encourage you, as I'm encouraged myself, that in our spirit there be a yea and an amen and an I will from this point forward, so that we can not only receive what God has for us now, but in the future to come. Amen? Amen. Amen. Brother Simpson, why don't you come?
Hallelujah. Amen. Won't we clap our hands to the Lord again? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. It's comely to give praise.
Yes, it is.
There's nothing that I like more than worshiping and praising and entering into his presence. There's nothing I like more than closing my eyes and just getting a hold of God, letting him know I love you. I appreciate you. I adore you. This is real to me. Amen. And sometimes we can pray that I get to this. Sometimes we can settle down in our spirit. Now, I don't know about you. Let me do this. How many of you were raised, I'm going to say, in this thing? You know what I'm talking about when I say this thing. Come on, get your hands high. Don't be ashamed of it. Get them up. Come on, go on, get up. Come on, get them up. Okay. How many of you was once out there? I'll just leave it there. And you've been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son. All right. Now, whether you were born in this thing or came out of darkness into this thing, we both are grafted together. And we have a reason to shout, to rejoice. Now, see, sometimes we, and I'm not trying to stoke you and trying to get you to do whatever, but it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your culture is. It doesn't matter what your personality is. Let everything. Let everything. Are you breathing? Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Everything. Everything. No matter what you're going through, everything. No matter what you've been through, everything. No matter what's coming along your way, everything. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. If you can't praise the Lord in the church, there is no way possible you're going to praise him out there.
That's the truth. Amen. That is the truth.
Yes. No way.
Impossible. That's the truth.
This is where you get your liberty. This is where you get your boldness. This is where you get your confidence. Oh, my God. There is, you are a reflection. I'll say we are a reflection. And the only way, if you look at this thing in terms of what Lucifer, before he fell, the angel, the cherub that covered, what he did was simply to reflect the glory of God. We know through scripture that he was made with all sorts of tabrets and gems and stones and all that, and all these things gave off an emanation or a reflection of God's glory. And so he was decked with timbrels and instruments, and so he gave off a sound that brought glory to God. Amen. That was his responsibility. He lost that responsibility. And it's up to us as the church, the people of God, to be a reflection of his glory. We are designed to praise. And I tell you what, the people of Seattle knows this. I asked Brother Schoonover, what is the predominant religion? He said sports, football. I said, yeah, Seattle. All of the NFL knows that the 12th man is a force to be reckoned with. Why? Because they have something. They understand.
Yes, they do.
They understand what that's all about. Don't tell me that's not praise. That's right. Now, I'm not against sports or whatever. I love sports, to be quite honest. But I'm not, hear me what I'm saying. They understand that there is power in praise.
Jesus.
That's what they're doing. And it's no wonder God tells us and instructs us to glorify him. Because there is power in praise, power to deliver, power to set free, power to transform, power to renew, power to strengthen. When we worship God, we create that atmosphere where anything and everything is possible. It's not about hype. It's not about personality. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. I don't know why I'm on this. Worship and praise will transform us. I know you think I'm trying to get you to do something, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I don't want, as a matter of fact, don't do it while I'm here. But I would like for this place to go crazy when I'm not here. Say, what is all that? Why? Because God asked for it. Hello? The book of Psalms is just as much Pentecostal as the book of Acts. Oh, hallelujah. Hello? Let me get to this. Oh, I love you. I've had a wonderful time here. So I'm gonna just move on along. I'm gonna stop right there. I just want to talk to you. I believe the Lord has something for me, for you and for us. And why don't you turn with me, please, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 41 and verse 13. What time do you normally get out of here? I only heard one voice. I heard one voice say, when we're done. So that's the only voice I'm going to listen to, whoever that was. No, I'm just kidding. I'll listen to the Lord. The book of Ezekiel 41. And I am going to begin at verse 13 simply because the entire context and content of this particular set of scriptures begin at chapter 40, verse 1. And I know you don't want to start there, do you? It will take a long time. So here we are. Why don't we do this before we begin and go any further? Why don't you grab the person beside you, grab their hand if it's, you know, fitting and whatever. Why don't we begin to pray? Like that prayer that we had downstairs, powerful, powerful, powerful. Let that transmit here. So the will of God and the purpose of God will be accomplished. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, in the name of Jesus Christ. Rebe kiando rohobo hosata mahaya. Ye ando robo shianda rama satabake. In the name of Jesus. We need you, Father, right now. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Prayer is not a space filler. Amen. So he measured the house. And 100 cubits long, and the separate place, and the building with the walls thereof, 100 cubits long. Also the breadth of the face of the house, and of the separate place towards the east, 100 cubits. And he measured the length of the building over against the separate place, which was behind it, and the galleries thereof on the one side and on the other side, 100 cubits, with the inner temple and the porches of the court, the doorposts and the narrow windows and the galleries round about on their three stories over against the door, sealed with wood round about and from the ground up to the windows, and the windows were covered to that above the door, even unto the inner house and without, and by all the wall round about within the and without, by measure within, everybody say within and with and without. And it was made, here we are, with cherubims and palm trees. So that a palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub. And every cherub had two faces. So that the face of a man was toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. It was made through all the house. It was made through all the house. Round about. Verse number 20. From the ground unto above the door were cherubims and palm trees made on the wall of the temple. I always, I've preached this message several times, several places, and I always get the same look. What in the world is that all about? All right. All right. Well, just hold on. I'm going to tell you. So when we look and read the scripture in First Kings concerning, I need to drink some water. Selah. Pause, stop right there. Or as some say, Selah. I don't know which one it is. What is it for you guys, Selah? Selah? Okay. Need to check with that group and see whether we're saying it right. So when you read the story in the book of 1 Kings of Solomon building the temple, you will read and take note that there were palm trees that were engraved throughout the walls of Solomon's temple. They were on the post in Solomon's temple and even on the windows. We read the account in Ezekiel concerning Ezekiel's vision. Now, we understand that Solomon's temple was the first temple that was built, and Ezekiel's vision here is a future millennial temple that will be built during the millennial period. So we see that Ezekiel's vision, there were palm trees that were engraved on the steps, on the posts, on the windows, and on the walls of God's temple. Furthermore, not only were the palm trees and the cherubims all over the wall, but they went from the ground all the way up to above the doors. And when you read the scripture, you'll find the doors weren't like this high. And so they were way up where everyone could see cherubims and palm trees. You could not go inside of God's temple without taking note that there were cherubims and palm trees. It also identifies and takes note. What's particularly interesting is that each of these cherubims had two faces, the face on one side and then the face on the other. When the cherub on this side would look this way, the face of the lion, all it saw was the sight of a palm tree. When you looked on the other side, all that particular face, which was a man, saw the image of a palm tree. This particular artwork, as we know of God, is not incidental, coincidental, or accidental. We understand whenever God does something, it's for a reason. Anytime God chooses a man to take note and to write down something in the scripture, God is trying to not only get us to identify something, but to recognize it. He was given an illustration to his people of something he desired for them to see. And so these carvings were meant to be recognized and understood and identified. With that in mind, let's look into Ezekiel's vision. He took note about these cherubs. He took note at their position. He took note at what they were looking at. He took note of what was going on with their imagery. He took note of everything that was going on inside of God's temple as it reflected this particular artwork. And so the fascinating thing, as I said, is that it didn't matter what was going on in this particular artwork. It all faced the palm tree. And it fascinated me. It had me, to be honest, mind boggled, because I wanted to understand what in the world is the deal with all these palm trees. Like you probably say, what is the deal? I mean, we just read scripture and we're like, oh, okay, whatever. But it has significance.
Everything.
And so we're just going to break this down a little bit, if you don't mind. I don't know if you're used to somebody coming, screaming, spitting, foaming, and all that. Oh, come on, you bless God, come on. And that's okay. It has its perfect time. Maybe you don't like that type of preaching. I don't know. Maybe you look like someone who's stoic. And God said, you know, like Brother Stone King. Man, that guy... And the man, the place just goes, wow. So maybe you're not used to this type of preaching. But just move past the vessel and hear the word of the Lord. Amen. And so when you begin to look at this vision, it starts at chapter number 40, verse number 1. And Ezekiel, at the beginning of his vision, he saw an angel with a measuring stick in his hand. We can call it a ruler. You can call it whatever you want. But he had a measuring stick in his hand. And if you will look at this, and you will find that much attention and detail was given to the instructions of this angel. He went around the temple, inside of the temple and outside of the temple.
Excuse me.
And he measured every single thing. He measured the windows. He measured the posts. He measured at the framework. He measured the doors. He measured outside of the temple, inside of the temple, all over the place. And you can get weary just reading about, and he measured this 8 cubits long, and he measured that 6 cubits. I'm like, come on, get to the point.
Right.
Sometimes we're like that with God. Come on, God, get to the point. Hurry up, will you? But he gave attention and detail to the measurements and the dimensions of his particular temple. Why? Because we can identify the significance of God measuring boundaries of the place he chooses to dwell in. Let me tell you something, Holy Ghost filled child of God. You may not like it, but God has determined in his temple there will be boundaries inside and outside. There will be things we must understand that God desires to be in control of. He's the foreman. He decides how he wants his temple to look. Oh, hallelujah. It's not because mama said it. It's not because grandmama said it. It's not because the bishop said it. It's not because our congregational leader said it. It's because God has determined. It's not because the Pentecostal movement says it. It's not because the UPC says it. It's not because we're in a denomination called apostolics. It's because God has decided, I want my temple thus and thus.
Yep. Yes. God decided.
If it's God's temple, he already made and set up the precedent. It will have boundaries. And I am the one that determines it. I'm the one that determines how it's going to look inside. I'm the one that's going to determine how it looks on the outside. You can't house the Spirit of God unless you understand God is the foreman and he's in control of his temple. We see and we understand that principle. That's clear. That's clear what those measurements mean. That's clear. To me, that's clear. Now, if I'm all, Bishop, you straighten this thing out. Bishop/brother. You had fun at my expense. I'm going to have it at yours. We can identify with the representation of the cherubims in the house of God. I hope we can identify with the representation of the angels in the house of God. Anytime God has a temple, that will be, should be, must be in an accompaniment of supernatural manifestations of God's angelic host. That the very fact that God's presence is there, if you are the temple of the Most High God, if this is the house where God chooses to abide, we ought not to be surprised of supernatural manifestations. As a matter of fact, we should expect it.
It should be the norm. Yes, sir. Yes.
It shouldn't be.
Yes, that's the truth. Help us, Father.
God is supernatural. And we try to make this thing about natural, physical realms of limitations. But let me tell you, God can reach down into the natural. God can reach down into the physical. We ought not to limit God and box him in. Let me tell you something. If there is a need in the house this morning, God is able to do it.
Amen.
I've been hearing that all my life, preacher. If you mix it with faith, you'll find out how real that thing is. Oh, let me be kind. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I know you guys are used to some sweet, kind preaching. We understand that angel, those cherubims all over the wall represented God's tangible presence.
All right.
I said tangible presence. And you see, I'm going to go back to that part about worship. You see, that's why worship is important. Because we know that God covers all time and all space. God is everywhere. There's nowhere you can't go that you won't find God already there. My God. God is from the front and to the back. God is in the east and to the west. Everywhere you go, you will find God is already there. So we can say, oh, God is already there. You know, the problem is, even though God is there, his tangible presence is not. That's why we have to enter into the presence of God with praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Because all that does is manifest his tangible presence in our lives.
Yes, sir.
And you can't have the tangible presence of God unless you enter into it. That's why praise is so important. That's why we worship. That's why we bless God. That's why we open our mouths. That's why we take a lap every now and then. Maybe you ought to take a lap even more so often.
Amen.
Don't worry about everybody else that's around you. Usher in the presence of God. And you can say, well, I don't feel what they feel. Praise singers, they worshiping and they praising. And let me tell you, my friend, it was powerful up here. I don't know if you felt what I felt, but angels showed up. I know some of you don't believe in angels. I understand that. I know you don't see them. But I felt angels all around this platform. I felt, I know what they feel like.
Come on.
I told Brother Schoonover, I had a visitor last night in the wee hours of the morning, and I knew what that spirit felt like, and I knew what it was trying to do to me. As a matter of fact, I started feeling sick again, and I started binding that thing. I didn't wake my wife up or anything else. As a matter of fact, I got up and wound up walking in the closet by accident. That was the thing that was so crazy. I'm back behind this. I know what the supernatural feels like. You see, because when I was lost and I wasn't living for God, I had these visitations and all that, and I can identify. I would tell my mother, hey, there's something in this room. That wasn't just some childhood scared fantasy thing or whatever the case may be. Sometimes we kind of brush that stuff. Oh, that's just children. I tell you why children see and all that, because they are sensitive to the spirit realm, and we just want to wipe that thing or push that thing off. Maybe they are more sensitive than we are.
Yes. Amen. That is the truth.
And so when I first felt the presence of God, the first time I stepped into an apostolic church, I said, and I've been in different churches. I said, I have never felt anything like this. As a matter of fact, I got afraid. What in the world is going on? I lift my hands up. My hands start shaking and trembling. What's going on? I'm looking to see who's grabbing and shaking my hand. There was something that was shaking my hand. Something got a hold, should I say, someone got a hold of me, and I could identify this is a supernatural thing. Amen. And I've been in religion. And so there ought to be an accompaniment of the supernatural. You ought to, Shanda Rahakande, Shata Rahamahakande, Shata Raiki on the Rohomo, Shikaha Mahata, Ye Atanololoboho Shande, Ikoto no Kunda, Meki on the Loloboho Shanda, Ikoto Rukande, Ikandalolaboho Sanda Lalaboho Sire. As a supernatural ministry on this man, oh my God. Shikaraha Bahasata Bahaya. Shikaraha Mahashi and the Robo Hosaya. Ye and the Robo Sanda Narah Mahakea. Shikatabaha Mahakaya. You see, I believe you see things and experience things. You don't want to say anything because you don't want to seem off. Ye and the Robo Hosaya. Ye and the Robo Shikahata Baha. Ikata Rando. Ikata. Ye and the Robo Shiando. Ye. Hallelujah. Turn that supernatural loose. The bishop has you here. He'll let you know if you trust me. He'll let you know if you get out of hand. But there's plenty of word in you. You don't have to worry about that. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church. Come on, step into the realm of the supernatural. Come on, step into the realm of the supernatural. In the name of Jesus. 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 Come on, we're not an institution. We're not another religious organization. We're the house of God. It's where the Spirit of God dwells. And the Spirit of God is able to do anything. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shekeyando robo shiata rabahaya. Ikando robo shiando robo hosaya. In Jesus' name. The living God is in the house. Amen. And it's not just in the house. Folks, it resides in us. All we have to do is turn that spirit loose and be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and what God desires to do. And the only way we can do that is when we get out of our program, out of our wills, out of our agendas, out of our desires, our ambitions, and our dreams. I'm all for all those things. Just make sure it's in the framework of what God desires to do in you. Anyway. That was a side note. We understand and we are familiar with the symbol of the lion. It signifies royalty. It means dominion and power. It signifies that God is in control. It signifies that God is that there's a reign, a royal reign. And when you are, and I am the temple of God, there has to be a kingly reign. There has to be a throne, and we're not the ones that's supposed to be on it.
All right. All right.
What was that book? Abdicating the Throne. And it's very easy for humanity to try to sit on the throne of our life.
Not even realizing it. That's the truth.
Come on. Yep.
So God was saying, hey, there's a king and it ain't you. You may, and forgive me for using ain't. I love it. It sounds better. Amen. I know it is. I have an English major right here. And trust me, she'll let me know. I'm like, I know, but I like saying it this way. We can certainly relate to the other side of the angelic being. The face of a man. Signifying our humanity. It signifies our weaknesses and our frailties. It signifies that we were made lower than the angels. And it signifies all of our little hiccups, I mean, not anyone in here. It's very easy to hide behind religion. It's easy to hide behind our relationship. It's easy to hide behind the fact that, hey, I'm born again and everything else. But let's face it, we know that we got some stuff. We put it like this. Could I have a volunteer that would like to just post your, or have a video. We get Brother Mark to do it. That guy, he's bad, man. He has technology. He could do this. Put a video of your life over the last week on the screen. I'm sure that you would like to do some edits before. Hello? Even if it's just some of your thoughts. You know how you get in church and say, oh, bless God. You know, and you remember being so mad or whatever, you can cut somebody's throat. No one like that, right? And we can hide behind, but God was placing an illustrative picture on this wall inside of his temple that there is going to be the face of a man. You can't escape it. Flesh will always be flesh. You can't be spiritual enough. You can't get holy enough not to have flesh. Paul said, in me there is no good thing in my flesh. I don't care how Pentecostal or apostolic you are. Your flesh is nothing. It's not good.
Nope.
Hello?
No.
Amen.
Oh. Come on. Is this being too mean? Tell the truth? Okay, sister, I'm going to tell. No. I'll let Bishop do that and the pastor do that. Tell me, so let me know. So we understand all that. But then it was those palm trees again. Now, maybe you got this thing figured out. You know, maybe you, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You know, but I'm like, what in the world? Palm trees? God, couldn't you have thought of something better than that? You got the lion. You got angels. You had the face of the man. I can identify with that, you know. It doesn't matter how, it didn't say how the face looked, you know. It was just the face of the man. And so I know, what's going on with this palm tree? Can I just talk to you what God showed me? Now if someone come and say something else, and that's fine, and that's dandy. But this palm tree, I just want to share some of the characteristics of the palm tree. And I got to looking at the research, because I'm trying to figure out, I'm one of those weird, and you probably already figured that out, I'm one of those weird characters, you know. And I get to looking and, you know, it's not that I'm some, you know, I just get to looking and checking things out. And, you know, why? I have a lot of questions, a lot of unanswered questions, too. But, you know, and we're going to have that. And so I wonder what's going on with this deal with the palm tree. So I begin to research this thing and check it out. And we know that the palm tree is one of the most well-known trees in the world. I found out that mankind would not have been able to survive without palm trees. It's sad that the command given by God for man to increase and populate the earth was not possible without palm trees being positioned in certain places, because it provided protection, it provided shelter, food, nutrients, and et cetera, et cetera. And I said, okay, that's cool. That's really cool. So man could not survive without the palm tree. So you had to look towards the palm tree. And okay, that's fine. I can get that. I can understand that. But when you further take a look at the palm tree, you will find out that obviously we know, when I look at a picture of a palm tree, it's a symbol of vacationing. Yeah. I think of sandy beaches, you know, hello, and not that I want to go there per se, but and you think of just a vacation that I need. That I want, you know, I had people from back home. They were like, I hate to disturb you while you're on your vacation. I hate to whatever, because I took a picture while I was riding through this mountain being tempted, being tempted by the adversary. Cast yourself down from here. But I said, I'm not on vacation. I had enough time to stop and take a picture but in between my episodes of getting ready to have a heart attack. I had time to rest. But that's what we think about. We think of tranquility. Palm trees fascinate me. I think of tranquility, serenity. I think of peace. Oh, this is a wonderful bliss. And that's when I think of this particular congregation, this area. It's just so serene. Oh, everybody is so friendly. I tell my wife, I wish we could take these people to Baltimore. He speaks, how you doing? What you want? Hey, I don't have any money. Leave me alone. It's just superb here. The spirit here, the friendliness. I said, my goodness, this has to be one of the most friendliest places. And I've been to some, I've traveled and whatever. And it's just, I'm like, oh, this makes you want to melt. Oh, this is so wonderful. You look at all the scenery and it's like that. And that's the picture of the palm tree. It gives you that sense of, oh, everything is wonderful. Everything is going to be okay. However, don't let that peaceful nature of the palm tree fool you. It can be mistaken as a passive. It can be mistaken as being a passive thing of God's creation. When you look, it's just so peaceful. Everything is okay and everything is just fine. Now last Wednesday, I feel like God was ministering and preaching hope in times of darkness and despair. Friday, I believe God was infusing us with faith. But I believe today God would like to instill fight. I believe God, I know you believe in being friendly and peaceful and all. I'm not talking about fighting people. Let's get that right.
Thank you.
Don't block everything else I said. Yeah. Preacher said fight. But this palm tree can be mistaken for being passive. And while the palm tree is displayed as a symbol of serenity, in old times, the palm tree symbolized overcoming victory. It symbolized strength. And the Jews had a tradition that when they had festivities and they were celebrating victory or whatever, they would put down the palm trees. And as when Jesus Christ came, the triumphal entry, he came into Jerusalem, they laid down the palm trees. They would signify our king has come. Victory is about to happen in the nation of Israel. And you see, that represented victory. It represented triumph. Anytime you had any games or any contests or any battles, whoever was the victor would wear their crown, their wreaths of palms, planted in their head. It symbolizes, I have overcome. And so when you look at the palm tree is and will represent serenity when there's a calm, when there's peace, when there's fair skies, and when there's clear skies. But don't let that identity fool you. I'm here to tell you, children of God, we should be a representation of peace on earth. When people see us, they should see people that don't get all roused up every time something goes wrong. They ought to see somebody that has it together in terms they don't lose their mind when things happen because they have the peace of God. But we ought not to be limited to just that one dimension of serenity. You see, because the mystery of the palm tree is that serenity becomes resiliency. And so on one side, when everything is calm and everything is fine, the palm tree represents serenity. But when a storm comes, when problems come, when the winds blow, that thing which was calm and seemed dormant, all of a sudden it has the tenacity and the resiliency to withstand anything. And God put that in his temple. God put that representation on all the walls. Everywhere you went, you saw the palm tree. Everywhere you went, you saw the representation of the palm tree, signifying, hey, oh, it's serene. It's a peaceful place. It's a peaceful thing inside of the temple. But don't let that fool you. Don't be mistaken. You better believe inside of each and every one of us. I see this church has that certain aura. When the sister began to play, and that man, that guy tore them drums. Blah, 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 my goodness, animal. The spirit that settled down in this place. It is said that the palm tree possessed this mysterious power. You research that, you'll find they thought it was mystical. Sometimes I just look at the palm tree. I have taken pictures by a palm tree. I'm just fascinated at how it's made. It's like no other tree. And I'm just, it's like, this is weird. And you see, it represents, as I said, now the word serenity means a state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. That needs to be us. Calm, peaceful, and untroubled until you're about to be thrown over a cliff. I was still calm and cool. But then I had to resist. Brother, look straight ahead. I was quoting scripture. Don't look to the left or the right. Look up to the hills and what's coming to your help. Keep straight. Anyway, serenity becomes resiliency only during adversity. I said serenity only becomes resiliency when there's adversity, brother. When there's, oh, hallelujah. I wanted to say something to you, and I'm sorry. The other day, but God was talking. God was talking. God was communicating. God was trying to say something. God is trying to say something here today. We had that persona. We had that image. We had that spirit of serenity, of calm, of clearness, of fairness. But serenity must take on the form of resiliency. And it only transpires through hardship, difficulties, adversity. When things are difficult and things are tough, when circumstances seem to work against you, which means adversity. I know no one else has any adversity in here. I don't know where. Hallelujah. I don't know what world you're living in, but Jesus told me, hey, if you're going to live for God, if you will be godly, you will have persecution. Hey, in this world, you're going to have some trouble. You're going to have some difficulty. There are going to be some hard times to come. Now, this is what I noticed. Brother, this is what I noticed. Because we have that, you know, persona, because we're Christians, we're supposed to have that, like, as if nothing's going on. And we know, let me be honest, we know, and I was talking about Baltimore, I'm going, all right, we know, here, in this room, all the stuff that we're facing. And that's stuff that the bishop, I'm sure, probably doesn't even know. Hello? Yeah. See, now it's been kind of quiet, but it's even getting more a little quiet or whatever. People don't like you to hit home. Hello? But see, I've realized, you know what? People are people everywhere. People have problems everywhere. Amen. Every church, you find they experience the same things. Sometimes people hide it more, especially when a visiting preacher comes. They try to hide their stuff. You know? Now, your pastor and your bishop and whatever y'all call him around here, he hasn't been telling me. He doesn't tell me anything. He doesn't. We talk about other things. We talk about godly things and spiritual things or whatever, and we laugh and joke. But he doesn't tell me about the church, and I don't want to know. And I believe he does it all the time. He's not going to tell everything, and then somebody get in the pulpit and, oh, what did he tell? What did he say about me? No, it's not like that.
No.
Is this okay?
Yeah.
And so this palm tree, now remember, we're talking about God's temple. What
does this have to do with me?
Know ye not, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Ye are the temple of the living God.
Yes.
And if God is going to dwell in you, and this was a representation, whether it was his past temple, future temple, or his current temple that's made without hands.
All right.
That illustration on the walls meant something. And that illustration is evident here in Scripture, and I'm just trying to talk to you about this thing. And so I believe that during all the hardship, during the different, you see, this is it about the palm tree. What I found out is that, there's always somebody who will come to you at the service and say, well, did you know this and did you know that? And there's always an expert on every subject. Now, so if you're an expert on palm trees, okay, I don't have it all together. I just read about it, okay? I just wanted to find out. And so my understanding, well, first of all, there are two different classes of palm trees. You can put them in different classifications and all that, genre, whatever the case may be. And there's different species and all that, over 3,000, 4,000 species. Depends on who you ask. It always depends on who you ask. But the point is, there are some species of palm trees. And you're like, man, why are you talking about palm trees? Because God wrote in his word, he kept on talking about palm trees everywhere, all over his temple. That's why. So it has some significance. And so this palm tree, it says that whenever there's a storm, what transpires is the palm tree's roots, or roots as he would call them. I say roots, man. I don't know about that. Roots. The roots of the palm tree. Now, how many say roots? How many say roots? Oh, it's more roots than roots. I'm sorry. So we're going to say roots from now on. Boots, roots. So the roots, come on, brother, roots, come on, say it, roots. The roots of the palm trees, when there's a storm, they go down deep. Now, most roots, from my understanding, a root, since goes this way, But the roots of the palm tree goes deep down in search of water. And it is said that the mystery behind a palm tree is this, is that when the storms come, the storms actually make the palm tree stronger during the storm, because its roots go down deeper and it goes down farther in the storm. It takes the position is that I don't care how difficult this situation may be. It doesn't matter how strong these winds are going to blow. I am still standing. I'm going to get my footing. Hey, I may be calm and peaceful when everything is okay, but I want to let you know I may bow. I may bend. I will not break. That is the characteristic of the palm tree that God put in his house. He said, I want my temple. I want it to be in my temple that we may bend. As a matter of fact, the palm tree, when it bends all the way down to the ground. This way as the wind is blowing, and that way as the wind is blowing. But when the wind stops blowing, the palm tree gets back up in its normal position as if nothing has ever happened. That's how you and I are to live. When everything is okay, everybody in this world should be able to see a person that has it together, that's peaceful, that they can come to and say, wow, what is it that you have? You look so peaceful. But when the storm comes and the winds blow in your life, while everything else is being tossed to and fro, everything else is being destroyed, when there's nothing but absolute chaos, the palm tree is just swaying back and forth. It can't be moved. It can't be toppled. And when the wind stop blowing, everything else is destroyed. But the palm tree, it's still there. It's still holding on. And it's not a victim. It's a victor. It's not that I'm just going through. I'm a subject to. No, it's as a matter of fact, it's not just being subject to the wind. The wind is making it stronger. You see, when adversity comes, it's not to make you weaker, but to make you strong in God. We're not getting weaker. I shared with Brother Schoonover and Sister Schoonover some of the difficulties he went through. And I was just trying to share. Some people like to glorify their troubles.
Yeah.
I wasn't glorifying my troubles. I was glorying in my troubles. I was glorying in my infirmities. I was glorying in my weaknesses. I was saying, Brother Schoonover, you don't understand. I'm so glad those things came along. I'm so glad. We didn't even share all of them with you. I had a prophet that prophesied over me and start prophesying about, yes, Job, and you shall do this. And I told Brother Schoonover, man, Job. You got the wrong guy. And about 12 years later, I was Job. But on the other side, you see, I was wondering, God, what in the world are you doing? But I can tell you without a, seriously, before Almighty God, even though it was difficult, I was thanking God. God, whatever you're doing, whatever you're trying to do, I thank God for you. If you're trying to take kill me, whatever, just do it. I just don't want to be in a whole lot of pain. Just take me out. Devil can't scare me with death and being with him. You know how the devil is. You're going to die. You know the worst little symptom that you have. Oh, I'm having a heart attack. When it's your time to go, it's your time to go. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's why Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Paul said, hey, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We understand all that. And so what I'm trying to tell you this morning, folks, that I don't, and I'm not talking about globally. I know you guys, you seem to have it all together. Man, I wish I had a church that had it all together like this. Maybe I can do a little something. I don't know. Smile. Okay. We'll have to do this exercise. Let's see some tea. Come on. Smile, everyone. It's okay to smile in the house of God. Huh? Okay. Now, when I take pictures, I don't show my teeth, so I just go, you don't have to show your teeth. Come on, fine. Just smile. It's okay. Everything is going to be okay. You see, that's part of serenity and peacefulness. And I know you know. But, you know, I can't say that. You guys, y'all smile. You smile. Hey, how you doing, Brother Simpson? It just want to get behind here. That's what go. You're not talking about me, are you? I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, how did I get here? Let's talk about palm trees. I'm almost done. Let's talk. Man, get over with this palm tree stuff, man. The palm tree is not dormant in the storms. It's not a victim in the storm. That's why it's resilient. That's why. Brother, could you put that picture up on the screen for me? I asked brother put this picture up on the screen. The mystery of the palm tree. You see, this is what your home may look like. This is what your marriage may look like. This is what your finances may look like. This is what you may feel about yourself all around. But you need to not look at it. And I don't know. I know it's not a really, I got to put on my glasses. It's not a really clear picture. Now notice everything around. The clouds are still dark. Looks like Seattle to me. And you say, well, I don't live in Seattle. I live in, what is this place? Where am I now? I've been all over the place. Notice how everything is destroyed around it. But the palm tree is still standing. You say, well, you know, sometimes what happens is our branches get broken off. Things get messed up. But the palm tree is still standing. Yet you will have a little results behind the storm, and things may be broken up a little bit. But look at it standing back in its normal position. During that particular hurricane, do you know that that particular tree was swaying back and forth and back and forth? And that was what made the tree stand, is that it was able to go along with whatever was transpiring, not because it was a victim, but because of what was put in him deep down underneath the surface. There's something inside of us that many don't have. That's the Spirit of God. And while things in this world can topple the average man, we have the Spirit of the living God inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God has desired and designed for us to be able to withstand anything. Tell your neighbor, I can withstand anything. Tell somebody, I can withstand anything. That sentence is incomplete. With God. I said with God. The scripture says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Whenever my wife and I go through a battle, difficulty or whatever, I'll say these words. It's only temporary. This too shall pass. And this light affliction is but for a moment. Worketh for us. The scripture says our light affliction worketh for us. Oh. Whatever you've been afflicted with, whatever you've been afflicted by, it worketh for you, not against you. That's why Paul said he was crying about his thorn in the flesh. Three times he came crying to God. And God said, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, okay, God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, there is God wanting to be weak. No. What God was saying is that I will have to allow you to go through things that naturally speaking will make you weak. But when I do that, my strength in you will be made perfect. Do you want God's strength or your strength? Come on. Do you know the only way you can get God's strength is to go through difficulty? Put that on the screen. I'm coming to a close with this. 2 Corinthians, and I don't know why I'm preaching this on a Sunday morning. I know I'm supposed to be preaching the evangelistic message. 2 Corinthians 12:9, as I'm wrapping this thing up. Please. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Sometimes we act like the Bible is not real.
Yes.
Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. It took me a while to get there. Hello? The glory in my infirmities? God, are you kidding? You must be joking, right? The glory in my infirmities. How about cry in my infirmities? How about weep? How about beg God? He said, glory in your infirmities. Then he said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If I can glory in my infirmities, the power of Christ will rest upon me. We talk about we want the power of Christ. Sometimes I say, God, I want more faith. I want more faith. I say, oh, my goodness. Take that, strike that comment, strike that remark, take that off the books, because I know in order to get more faith, I'm going to go through some more difficulties.
Yeah.
Right. We think that we say, right, give me faith, give me God, give me more of you, God, give me. Do you understand what you're asking for? Do you really want more? I'm serious. I found myself right after all that stuff. I said, God, I want greater faith. We prayed out. I want God to move. I want you to do more than that. I caught myself. I said, oh, my goodness. Not yet. Wait a minute. Let me get over that. Let me finish glorying in this infirmity. My goodness. He said, I take pleasure. If you're going to have pleasure in your infirmities, you got to take it, folks. You see, we take stress.
Yes, we do.
We take depression.
Yes, we
do. You know depression is a choice?
Yes.
Depression is a choice. It's what we do with our stresses. It's what we do with our difficulties. It's what we put our minds in the concept of thinking about. I'm just going to think about this misery all day. I'm going to think about this. God, how I'm going to get through, how I'm going to make it, how. And when you think about those difficult things, you get stressed. Depression sets on. So Paul said, I take pleasure. Pleasure is available when I'm going through something, but I have to take it. It's mine. I have to take it. I'm going to get a hold of it. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and reproaches. That sister was talking about me. Pastor, that sister. No, y'all don't do y'all. This don't happen in here. I assume it don't. You know, I don't know. But it happens in Baltimore. Yeah, you know, sister such and such. I know what they say. You know. Now, you guys are too nice and friendly and all that, right? That kind of stuff don't go on around here. So Pat Bishop just going, And all these things and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool and glorying. You can stand, please. Many times God chooses difficulties to bring us to God. If you weren't saved with a bottle in your mouth and a pamper on, chances are you came to God during difficult situations or feeling empty. You didn't just decide, I think I'm just going to live for God. No. The world dealt you hard blows. It gave you false dreams and false sense of security. It told you, gave you promises and told you it could do this and it could do. If you try my product, if you live in this area, in this house, if you drive this type of car, if you had this person beside you, if you had this particular account, if you tried my product, they paint these pictures where your life is going to just miraculously change. And everything is just going to be so fine. And that's how people come to God. That's why people come to God. Because of all that, those things bring us to God. But if those things bring us to God, God has to allow those things to come about in our lives to bring us to a place where we want to grow closer to God. I'm sorry, we're not there. If you ever stop being hungry and thirsty and thriving to get closer to him, to what Paul said, that I may know him. Paul, he experienced great things, but he said, I want to know you. Moses, even though he experienced the burning bush and he was up there on the mountain and he was able to take the stones of the tabernacle he made and all that, he came to a place in a cleft where he said, oh God, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. What I have experienced is not enough. I've seen you face to face. I've spoken to you personally, but that isn't enough. We need to be like that. Where I am in God is not enough. Where I am with God is not enough. I want to grow closer to him. Excuse me. And God, when we desire to grow, how many want to grow close to him? I know all of you do. Most of you do. Because of that, God knows the only way that we can get there is to allow us to go through situations that will bring us closer to Him. I'm talking about, friends, God's temple. We know about the angelic presence. We know about God's kingly rule. We understand about the face of a man and the frailties of a man and all those things. But this palm tree and what it represents, it means that God has put in us, each and every one of us, the ability to face anything that will come our way. The palm tree, you can find it in all sorts of climates. You can find it in a desert place. You can find it when there is torrential rain. One of the only few places you can't find a palm tree is when there are frigid temperatures, to my knowledge. Maybe you can. I don't know about that per se. But I know this is a difficult message to grasp, in a sense that it's kind of way off the chart. It's out of the box. But once again, I believe God has a theme that He's communicating to this particular body. And maybe it's just a few people. I don't know. That God is trying to strengthen you. God is trying to make you strong. And if we can take that spirit and heart of serenity, that calm aura that we have and we possess, if we can take that on the other side, we have so much tenacity and so much resiliency that whenever something comes along, people can look and say, well, I want what you have. How do you do that? How do you deal with that? How are you able to get through these things the way you do and you still have a smile on your face? I don't mean to fake it.
Right. Right. Right.
Every eye closed. Why don't you lift your hand? I believe that we during the place in times of calm, we emanate that and we reflect that. But I believe God is calling this church to rise up and become a force in this city, a force in the supernatural realm, where we will begin to fight in the supernatural realm, and that we will begin to take authority and dominion in the supernatural realm during our difficult times. God is not calling us to lie dormant until the storm is over. God is not calling us to just sit back and wait for the things to calm down. But my friend, when things come along, that's the time to pray like you've never prayed before. That's the time to become a prayer warrior. That's the time to intercede. That's the time to get a hold of God like you've never before. Come on, in the name of Jesus Christ, won't somebody begin to pray? Come on, in the name of Jesus. If you know that somebody in this place has been going through a difficult time, won't you go to that brother, go to that sister, go to that family and begin to pray with them. Begin to encourage them in the Lord to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Come on all over the house right now in the name of Jesus. I know this message may not be for everyone in the name of Jesus, but I am certain that there is someone that needs the strength of the Lord. There is someone that don't want to rely on their own strength. There is someone that's been going through a difficult situation in the name of Jesus, and they're wondering what's going on. I say God is making you stronger. I say God is fortifying you. I say God is causing you to rise up and become a force to be reckoned with in the name of Jesus. Maybe there's difficulty in your marriage and you don't want anyone to know. Maybe you've been giving up hope. on, in the name of Jesus. 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 Maybe you've been having financial difficulties. Maybe you've been having trouble trying to find a good job. I don't know what it may be. But come on, I don't believe everybody in here, everything is going okay. Everything is nice and dandy. And I'm just this close to heaven. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Why don't we become real? In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody need to turn that serenity into a place of resiliency. In the name of Jesus. Where we begin to fight. Hallelujah. We're not victims, but we're victors. We're victors. We're victors. The symbol of the palm tree. The identification of the palm tree is this. Serenity will become resiliency. Come on, in Jesus' name, just a little further. Just a little further. Shiatarahabahakaya. Come on, why don't you take somebody by the hand next to you or link up with somebody that's right by you. Let us begin to pray. Strengthen my brother. Strengthen my sister. God, whatever you have to do in us and through us, have your way in us, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, some of you have been questioning and you've been wondering why and wondering what. In the name of Jesus Christ, Shianda Robo Hosata Mahata Ye Ataya, Yeando Robo Siando Robo Sunday, Ikata Mando Robo Sunday, Ikata Nana Moho Satamaha, Yeando Robo Hosaya. I feel that the roots are going down deeper. I feel that the roots are going down even stronger. In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. I'm still standing. World, you gave it your best shot. Devil, you gave me your best blow. But I'm still standing. I'm still here. I'm still in the church. I'm not going anywhere. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, get a spirit of fight within them. It's okay to be peaceful when the weather conditions are fine, but when there's a storm, it's time to fight back. It's time to get nasty. It's time to resist everything that's going against you. Come on, somebody, rise up and fight. Rise up and say, I'm not a victim. Rise up and say, my house is not a victim. My household is not a victim. My marriage, my finances, I'm not going to be a victim. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Just a little further. Just a little further. Come on, in Jesus' name. If this don't fit you, why don't you begin to pray? You don't have to go to that person, but begin to pray for that person that you may know of a situation that they're going through. My soul. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand. I'm going to be strong in you. In the name of Jesus. I don't know who you are, sir or ma'am, but God is trying to talk to somebody in this place today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just a little further. We're almost there. Just a little further. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't get weary and well doing. Somebody fight. Somebody fight right now. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I'm not going to be passive. I'm not going to be dormant. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ronda Robo Shiandar Hamahakaya.
Nothing and no place.
Hallelujah.
I need you.
Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, take that place in God.